So our title this morning, give him the name Jesus, call him Emmanuel. At the carol service 2 weeks ago, we listed some of the names and the titles of Jesus. And we spoke specifically about one name, the Word. We're not going to be talking about the Word this morning. Here are some other names and titles that were given to Jesus. I'm sure you know them all. Messiah, Christ, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Saviour, the Lord, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Light of the World, Good Shepherd, Bread of Life, Alpha and Omega. Some really wonderful names, yeah? But today I would like to focus on the two names that are declared in Matthew's Gospel when the angel appeared to Joseph before Jesus was born. What are those two names? They are, of course, Jesus and Emmanuel. So we're in Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So you see, the angel said to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus. And then the author of this Gospel of Matthew, many people think this was probably Matthew, the tax collector, the disciple of Jesus, although his name's not mentioned in the book. Whether it's Matthew or someone else, the author of Matthew's Gospel then adds a note quoting the prophet Isaiah stating, they will call him Emmanuel. So the angel says to Joseph, you will call him Jesus. And the author of the Gospel adds the note, they will call him Emmanuel. And of course that raises the question, who are they? Are you one of them? Are you one of they who call him Emmanuel? The angel said to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And the author of the gospel adds, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So let's have a closer look at these two names. I would like to suggest that Jesus is the given name that Jesus will receive from his parents, whereas Emmanuel is a name by which he will be known by people of faith. Jesus is frequently referred to as Jesus in the Gospels. But apart from this one verse in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is never referred to as Emmanuel again. Now, you can imagine that Jesus would have been called by this name, Jesus, Yeshua, when he was growing up, in the streets and the parks around his home, in the alleyways of the town, at school, or in the synagogue, maybe. I imagine that this was the name by which his parents called him when breakfast was ready or it was time to go out someplace. But we don't have evidence of anyone calling him Emmanuel to his face. Let's think about the name Jesus. Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, of course the same name as Joshua. And this name, Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, means, of course, Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves. And as I understand, it was quite a common name at the time of Jesus within the Jewish community. And think about it, why not? Why wouldn't you call your child Jesus, which means Yahweh saves? What a significant name to give a child. What a lovely name. Indeed, we know of at least one other person with the name Jesus in the Bible. When Jesus was crucified, there was another man with the name Jesus. You know who he was? Jesus Barabbas. Jesus Barabbas. And I'll just read the short note for you from Matthew 27. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival. This is just before the crucifixion of Jesus, yeah? It was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Think about it for a moment. Jesus Barabbas should have gone to the cross, but Jesus Messiah went in his place. Jesus means Yahweh saves. And Jesus Barabbas was saved from a cruel crucifixion because Yahweh saves and because Jesus Messiah went to the cross instead of Jesus Barabbas. And as an aside, perhaps we ought to ask ourselves, can you identify with Jesus Barabbas? Have you already identified with Jesus Barabbas? He was a well-known prisoner. He was notorious. He was the kind of person that probably had done lots of bad things. Can you identify with Jesus Barabbas, one who's notorious for having sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Can you identify with Jesus Barabbas, and can you say that Jesus, Messiah, took the punishment that you deserved when he went to the cross in your place. Let's get back to our main subject this morning. So when the angel appeared to Joseph, Joseph was told, you are to give him the name Jesus because. What was the because? What was the reason? You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. What you see is that his name will reflect what he will do. Jesus will be called Jesus, meaning Yahweh saves, because Jesus was the chosen instrument through which Yahweh would save his people. Let's talk now for a moment about the name Emmanuel. You see, Jesus is not the only name. Jesus has many names, and the two we're focusing on this morning, Jesus and Emmanuel. But I'm not sure that this was a given name, a name by which he would be called. Emmanuel means, of course, God with us. And I'm not convinced that Jesus would have been called by this name when he was growing up, in the markets, in the alleyways, at school, or in the temple. I'm not convinced that this was the name by which his parents called him when dinner was ready or it was time for bed. But this is a name that people can call him by faith. And if you call him Emmanuel, if we call him Emmanuel, we are declaring that God is with us through the person and presence of Jesus. Now, as you know, we often talk about doing and being. Are you kind of with me on this? You know, we often talk as believers about doing and being. And we say that as believers in Jesus, oftentimes we focus too much on doing and not enough on being. Too much stuff on doing, you know, doing all the catering, getting the chairs out, getting the music practice done, or whatever it might be. Not enough time on being. Being in the presence of God. Being at rest with him. Being still and knowing that he is God. And here is an interesting thought. Because these two names that we're focusing on this morning, Jesus and Emmanuel, they focus one on being and one on doing. Of course, not us being and us doing, but God being and God doing on our behalf, for our blessing, for our salvation, to bring us close and into relationship with him. The name Emmanuel, God with us, focuses on this aspect of God being with us and being in us in the person of Jesus. Whilst the name Jesus, meaning Yahweh saves, focuses on the aspect of the work of Jesus. The Jesus who is doing, although of course it's now past tense, the Jesus who has done for us the work of salvation on the cross. And in a few days' time, we will be entering into a new year. Let me issue a challenge to all of us as we prepare to enter the year 2026. What will we call the God who created everything as we enter a new year? How will we refer to the Word of God, the one who took on flesh, who was born as a human being, who was wrapped in cloths and was placed in a manger? How will we refer to the Word of God who was sent to the cross, who suffered as a human being, who died in your place and mine, and was placed in a tomb? And how will we refer to the Word of God who conquered death and rose from the dead and sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Will you call him Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, meaning Yahweh saves? Will you call him Jesus, knowing that he has saved you? Will you also call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us, knowing that he is living with you and in you? You see, back in the day, back in the Bible times, some people called him Jesus, some people called him Emmanuel, but it takes faith to call him Jesus. It takes faith to call him Emmanuel. I would suggest that only by faith can we truly call him Jesus. Only by faith can we truly call him Emmanuel. Only by faith can we truly say Yahweh saves. Only by faith can we truly say God is with us. So back in the time of Jesus, some people called him Jesus. Some people welcomed him in their hearts as Emmanuel. But there were many who had far less complimentary things to say about Jesus. There were many who refused to believe in him. And so I'd like now to look at some of the negative names or titles or labels even that people said about Jesus. I'll run through these quite quickly, I hope. So first up, mere man. Some people said about Jesus, he's just a mere man. Blasphemer. In John chapter 10, there were people, they started to stone him. They were throwing stones at him and they said, we are not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy. Because you, a mere man, claim to be God. What are we going to call him? The Word of God. Are we going to call him Jesus? Are we going to call him Emmanuel? Or are we going to go along with the world who calls him a mere man, a blasphemer? In Matthew chapter 13, he's referred to as the carpenter's son. Yes, he was the carpenter's son, but he's so much more than a carpenter's son. In Matthew chapter 12, he's labeled as a Sabbath breaker. Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some ears of corn and to eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. He was also labeled as demon-possessed in Matthew chapter 12. The Pharisees said, it is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. In fact, in these few words, not only do they call him demon-possessed, they refer to him as a fellow, this bloke, this geezer, this chap. But he's not a bloke or a geezer or a fellow or a chap. He's God. He's Emmanuel. He's Jesus. He is Yahweh saves. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's also referred to as a subverter of the nation. In Luke chapter 23, when he's taken to Pilate. They began to accuse Jesus in front of Pilate, and they said, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." He's also referred to as a glutton, as a drunkard, as a friend of tax collectors, as a friend of sinners. In Matthew chapter 11 we read, Jesus himself says about himself, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say about him," so Jesus is saying, "You say about me, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and a friend of sinners." And then finally, I had to look these words up because I didn't know these words. He's accused of being vainglorious. Has anyone come across that word before? Vainglorious? Yeah? He's accused of being a fame seeker or a glory hog. Those aren't the actual words, but in John chapter 7, his brothers said to him, "No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret." I think what they're kind of saying is, you know, no one who wants to become famous acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. Since you're doing these things, do them on the big stage. Don't do them in a corner. Do them in a big stage so that you can really become a celebrity. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. There were plenty of words, phrases, names, labels that people put on Jesus back in the day. And any of you who don't live in a holy huddle will know that there's plenty of words and phrases and names that people use about your Jesus, your Savior, your Emmanuel, in the workplace, in schools, colleges, and so on. But back in the day, and in our generation too, some people call him Jesus. Some people call him Emmanuel by faith in their hearts. But that's the point. It takes faith to call him Jesus. It takes faith to call him Emmanuel. And of course, many who refuse to believe in Jesus have far less complimentary things to say about him. So as we close, we ask the question, what will you call him? What will you call him as we enter 2026? Will you call him Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, meaning Yahweh saves, knowing that he has saved you? Will you call him Emmanuel, knowing that God is with us, knowing that he is living in us, with you and in you? As we enter this new year, let us call him Jesus. Let us call him Emmanuel. Let us worship Jesus. Let us worship Emmanuel. Let us revere him as Jesus. Let us revere him as Emmanuel. Amen.